Hey everybody, welcome to the Conscious Love Show. Whether you are single, you are in a relationship, or you're healing a broken heart, this show is here to inspire you, to remind you how beautiful, lovable, and amazing you truly are, and to give you the practical tools and insights to navigate from wherever you are right now to the loving relationship that you so deeply want to have. My name is Shane Kohler. I'm a certified transformational coach and trainer with over a decade experience helping people release their trauma and open their hearts to love. I've delivered seminars all over the world, coached thousands of people through my online platforms and programs, and every week I'm coming straight to you with the hottest insights and the best teachers around, bringing you powerful resources and profound conversations to heal your relationship with love, dating, and yourself. I'm so grateful you're here, and if it's your first time, welcome. You can count on me to always show up for you with my very best and a commitment to learn and grow myself so I can serve you to my maximum ability. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. I've got some awesome things planned for you today. So without further ado, let's dive in. So welcome everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Conscious Love Show. Shane Kohler here. Pleasure to be on with you today. And in today's episode, I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't know exactly what I'm gonna say today, but I figured, you know, I would get on here and kind of let it flow as I've been preparing for today's session and kind of thinking about everything that's on my mind and on my heart around this and what I want to say and what I speak about. Like honestly, like my thoughts around this topic are swimming a little bit. You know, there's so much to say. There are so many things to touch on. I think, you know, there are things to touch on when it comes to being in a couple. There are things to touch when it comes to being single. But the topic that we're touching on today is really developing a healing relationship with your own sexuality. And I think more than this has anything to do with being in relationship with another person, what I really want to talk about today is the relationship you have with yourself and your own sexuality and how you bring that to relationships with other people. There's so much that happens, you know, internally and in our relationship with ourselves, really across the board. And today we're going to specifically talk about sexuality, but it's really not that different. You know, the same way we get on here and we talk about like all the work that you need to do as an individual to be ready for a relationship. And we talk about, you know, when you get into a relationship, all the stuff that is unhealed is going to be there and it's going to come up and it's going to be in your face and it's going to be a presence in the relationship that you have to deal with, right? So I think what I'm trying to say here is that when it comes to sexuality, it's no different than any other aspect of a relationship, right? The same way that you face challenges and things and you don't resolve them and then you get into a relationship and it comes up, the same thing is going to happen with sexuality, right? It's like whatever stuff you have that's unresolved with yourself around your own sexuality is going to become the stuff you have with your partner and in your relationships around sexuality. Right? So it's so important that we start to understand really this whole realm of existence that is alive inside of us. And that for most of us, and when I say most of us, I mean like almost everybody, like this is so pervasive that we don't even realize the extent of it, but we have such a deep sexual repression in our culture. I mean, in all the cultures of the world. I think this is just across the board. In all the cultures of the world, there is a deep sexual repression that's taking place. There's a deep sexual wounding that's taking place. And we've been hurt, we've been wounded, we've been traumatized around sex. And now we're carrying all of that into our relationships. Right? There's just so much around this that is happening and we're not even really aware of it, right? Like I think that's the thing, is it's happening and we're not even really aware of the fact that it's happening. We're just living in it and we think that it's the way it is. And so what do I mean when I say this? And I want to just talk about maybe some of the problems that we face, right, around this. And So a couple of things is like, let's just say for starters that almost everybody, men and women, are sexually unsatisfied. Whether they're single, whether they're in a relationship, almost everybody is sexually unsatisfied. And like, to think about, it's like when we're dating, there's kind of an assumption that, you know, oh, well, I'm single, so of course I struggle with sex as a single person. But once I'm in a relationship, we're going to have great sex. We're going to be in love. It's going to be awesome. But when you look at what happens in most couples, they're not having great sex. Most of them are having little to no sex, like maybe a couple times a year, if at all. And I'm talking about once you've been married for a long time, right? Like for many, many couples, the sex just kind of dies out. And even as single people, like I've coached a lot of single people, and you know, they talk about their frustrations sexually being a single person. And look, I was there. I get it. Like, I know how it is. But I'll ask them, I'll say, well, do you have a self-pleasure practice? And they'll say, well, yeah, but it's just not the same. And I get that. Like, I'll be the first to acknowledge that it's not the same, right? I'll be the first to acknowledge that it's not the same. But at the same time, I also know people that are really exploring the depths of their own self-pleasure. And what they're saying is not, they're not sitting around going, it's just not the same, it's just not the same. Like what they're saying is they're saying that, like, I am blown away by the depths at which I have been able to explore pleasure within my own body. Like I literally blow myself away with the realms I am able to access within myself. And if you're hearing that right now, and you're going like, I don't even know what that means. Or I don't even, that doesn't even make sense to me. That is going to highlight some of the sexual repression that you currently live under. And I think we've got to look at it like this, because we are all sexually repressed. It doesn't matter how free you think you are. We are all sexually repressed. And this is what I mean by that. From the time we were born, like you think about like kids and how adults treat kids around sex, right? And it's like children aren't even allowed to use the real names of the body parts. Anytime, like I remember the first time I was like 4 years old and I had seen the word sex on TV or something like that. And I said it around my mom and some of her friends. And the reaction was just like they flipped out, right? Like they couldn't handle it. I was saying this word and like nobody educated me. Nobody told me, like I remember what my mom told me that night was like, she took me aside away from everyone else. And she's like, why are you saying this? And I was like, I don't know. I saw it on TV. Like, I don't even know what it is. And this is what my mom said to me. She's like, it's something that you don't need to think about for a very, very long time. It's something that only adults do. And it's something that's really bad for you. And if you think about being a child, and I don't know anything about anything, and this is like one of my first experiences in this conversation, right? Like this is one of my first exposure to this conversation. And these are the messages that I'm getting fed about it. And my mom was very religious, and I've shared a little bit about the way that she has been throughout my life and the kinds of impressions that I got from her. But we all get this in different ways, right? There is no real healthy education about sex in our world. There is no real healthy education about our bodies in this world. There's no real healthy exploration around any of this. It is completely ignored. It is completely repressed. It is completely brushed aside. And this is what happened for me, because like I'm somebody who, as I became a teenager and as I became an adult, like I'm not somebody who bought into the repression, right? Like I'm somebody who gave myself the freedom to explore this in my teenage relationships. I was quite sexually active, you know, going into adulthood, like I've always been pretty active. Like it's like, I'm not somebody who bought into the repression around this. But then I want to talk about like what my internal experience of it was, having not bought into the repression. Because I was exploring, I was having relationships, I was trying different things. I was giving myself the freedom to explore this, right? I was giving myself the opportunity to access these parts of myself and explore all of this, but I was doing it under the assumption that I was somehow wrong, or that I was somehow dirty, or that I was somehow subversive, or that I was somehow acting out against what was right. And it didn't necessarily bother me to be that person. Like, it didn't really bother me to be that person because I didn't think being normal was that great to begin with. But if you think about how my identity is being shaped around that, right? Like, if you think about how my identity is being shaped around that experience, and like, what stories am I starting to tell myself? Oh, I'm different. I'm bad. I'm wrong. I'm dirty. I'm sinful. I'm subversive. I'm like, right? Like, there's a disconnect between me and everyone else. And I think this is what happens when we give ourselves the freedom to explore, given the cultural environment with which we're doing that. We are automatically placed in a category of being somehow dirty or wrong or sinful or disgusting or whatever. And what I really want to touch on around this topic is that when we talk about sexuality or we talk about sexual energy, we're not talking about something that is different than what we are. Like, there's no place where your sexuality ends and you begin, right? There's no place where your sexual energy stops and the rest of your energy takes over. It is all the same energy. And having a healthy sexual relationship with yourself is literally having a healthy relationship with yourself, period. It's having a healthy relationship with your body. It's having a healthy relationship with your emotions. It's having a healthy relationship with all of the things that you feel and all of the things that you experience, right? It's having a healthy relationship with life as a whole. And we've come to understand it in the cultural narrative around it that we've lived in. And honestly, in this respect, I don't really think it matters what country you live in this world. I mean, I think some are much more sexually repressed than others, but I think they're all sexually repressed. And we've developed this narrative around it where sexuality is this compartmentalized piece of our life that exists in its own little corner of our world or our consciousness. And it's only allowed to exist there. And it's to be hidden and kept behind doors. And it's to be feared and it's to be judged. And as long as it stays there, it's appropriate. But if it has any other expression in your life, it's somehow wrong or dirty or inappropriate. I think that is just a complete misunderstanding of what sexuality is and what we are. I think sexuality is something that, in the fullest expression, like if we were fully expressed beings, it would be present in everything we do. And I know, like, that might sound like a weird thing to say, right? Like, that might sound like a weird thing to say. And I understand, like, as I say that, you might be like, whoa, what the hell would that even look like? Like, is that even okay? And I understand why you would have that reaction, because given the way we understand our sexuality and we understand sexual energy, that statement sounds like a very inappropriate statement. So, like, I understand, like, when I say that sexuality would be a part of everything we do, a lot of people are going to hear that and be like, what kind of fucking twisted world would that be, right? So you've got to understand that when I say that, I'm not saying that that means what you might think it means. But what I'm saying is that that energy being alive inside of our bodies, being like an energetic presence, like if you think of your sexual energy, it's not just something that's related to the sexual act. your sexual energy is that thing that makes you feel alive. It's that thing that makes you feel juicy. It's that thing that makes you feel excited. It's that thing that makes you feel motivated. It's that thing that makes you feel inspired. It's the thing that makes you feel creative. It's the thing that makes you feel connected to God and spirit. It's the thing that makes you feel in love with life and other people. Like it is the essence of life itself. Like that is what sexual energy is. It is the essence of life itself. It's that when your body is filled with it, you feel like this warm, juicy, yummy, like just, ooh, yum. Like you want to savor life. You want to feel it so deeply. You want to integrate all of it. And that's not the way we live. Most of us are carrying a lot of stress in our bodies. We're carrying a lot of tension in our bodies. We're carrying, if you just check in right now as you're listening to this, like you probably have some discomfort in your body right now. You probably have some tight muscles. You probably have a little bit of a headache or some tension or pain in your back or feeling uncomfortable in your belly. Like if you just check in right now, you are probably holding some discomfort in your body. And I would suggest that wherever you are holding pain or discomfort in your body is the part of your body where your sexual energy has been locked out. Now, I know even that might be an interesting idea, right? But I've said this many times on the show. This is something that is being scientifically proven. And I understand that even our mainstream science doesn't necessarily want to let this become mainstream because it would just change everything. But like, this is something that is being scientifically proven is we are made of energy. Like our bodies are energetic things. They are not physical things. Like we think we are physical things. Like there's actually nothing that is physical. Everything is made of energy. And there's really not even a difference between energy and sexual energy. Like the life force energy, the vibrational essence of life is sexual energy. And that is energy that lives inside of us. It energizes, like I said, it energizes, it motivates, it inspires us. It connects us to God. It connects us to other people. It is the life energy. Rather than having a relationship with this energy where it is alive inside of us and present all the time, sexuality has been compartmentalized to, again, something that happens behind closed doors, something that happens in a bedroom, something that happens between romantic partners. And it's been compartmentalized to that. And look, like, yes, that is one expression of sexual energy. That is a very potent expression of sexual energy. That is the time and the place where we can take the sexual energy that is alive inside of us all the time, and we can really ramp it up and rev it up and build it up to high extremes and really experience the most of it, right? Like I get it. Like that is a certain thing that we do. That's a certain act that has a certain purpose. But when we reduce sexuality to that one act that happens at one specific time in our lives in a secret hidden place that we're not allowed to talk about or share about or anything like that, not only are we not understanding our sexuality, we're not understanding ourselves. And then what happens is, because there's such repression around it, and there's such compartmentalization, and it's being like held in like this dark corner of our lives, and it doesn't have the freedom to be expressed throughout our lives, like across the board, it actually limits what we can experience in the bedroom. Right? Like, because this energy is not alive in us all the time, when we're in the bedroom, we're not even available for the thing we're trying to do, right? Like when we're in the bedroom, like how much work do we have to do to get relaxed just so we can actually do the thing we want to do. Right? Like, how hard do we have to work just to get into the mood, just to be ready for it? Or, and I know, like, this is a little bit different for men and women. So something I see a lot for women is that they need to be able to relax and open up to get in the mood. And with all the stress and tension and needing to make this happen and taking care of kids and all the stuff that's going on in our lives, it's like the stress is so much. There's a whole process to just relax to be able to get in the mood. So women often aren't sexually available because they're just not able to relax enough to really open up and receive the experience. Men have almost the opposite problem. Men become hyper sexually available because, and by hyper, I don't mean that's a good thing, but I mean they end up not being able to last very long. Right? It's like they can only last for a couple of minutes because the stress and the tension is such in their body that actually when they do try to become sexually aroused, there's nowhere for the energy to go. So where like in an embodied sexual experience, like, yes, the man's energy might be generating in his genital area, but then it's going to actually move throughout and fill his entire body. And when he's in a relaxed state and he's open and receptive to this energy, it can move through his whole body and he'll be able to last for hours. But when his body is not able to receive that energy, when he has all this tension and stress, and it becomes like an energetic block that keeps the energy located in the genital area. And then after a certain amount of time, which is honestly only a minute or two, that area is filled with all the energy it can handle and it has to release. And so you have women who aren't even really able to open up and receive the experience, men who aren't even able to be present long enough to have the experience. And that's that, right? That's that. Now I see this comment here, says women don't want to sleep with a man for hours. It's painful. Well, I talk to a lot of women who are deeply dissatisfied with their partner's ability to last for a significant amount of time. And, you know, whether they would want to go for hours or not, I guess would depend on how they feel when they get there. But I would say also to the point I'm talking about here, if going for hours is painful, you may want to explore what tension you're holding in your own body that makes it painful. Whereas if that tension wasn't there, might you be able to enjoy the experience for longer, right? So that might be something that you've lived your whole life thinking, oh, well, if it lasts too long, it's painful. But actually, that's a symptom of the repressed energy that you're holding in your body that doesn't allow you to open up and receive it for that amount of time. And please understand, I'm not saying the way it is or isn't. I'm saying you've got to go explore what it is for you. But these kinds of assumptions, like a lot of men would just say, it's not possible to last for hours unless you're on drugs. Well, that's actually not true. There are thousands of year-old tantric practices that have been teaching men how to do this since, I mean, as far back as history goes. But this is not knowledge that is mainstream. It's not knowledge that we're being educated about. It's knowledge that is hidden and repressed and it's, you know, again, it's kept from us, right? We're not educated about it unless we start exploring this stuff. What I'm getting at here is that there is so much more available to us in and out of the bedroom, right? Like this is not just about the bedroom. Although that being said, like most couples are like not happy in the bedroom. Most singles are not sexually satisfied. So there's a lot more for us to experience in the bedroom. But that being said, there's also a lot more for us to experience outside of the bedroom. And this conversation is about inviting more of it into all areas of our life, right? So what do I mean when I say this? Because I know it could be confusing when I say like this should be present in all areas of our life. It's available everywhere, right? I want to give some detail about what I mean, because I know that might be confusing. And when I say that it can be available all the time, I want you to imagine like a kind of sensuality in your life. A kind of like being turned on by life itself. And I'm not necessarily saying like you're sexually turned on. I think like even calling it sexual energy is a little confusing, because it's only sexual energy when it's being engaged sexually. But like when we do breath work, we activate the same energy. I've done plant medicine experiences where I've had a full body orgasm that lasted 6 hours. And it wasn't sexual at all. Like there was nothing happening with my sexual parts, but that same exact sexual energy was filling every inch of my body. Right. So to even call it sexual energy is a little confusing. But if you imagine having a relationship with yourself, a relationship with life, a relationship with other people, where you're out in the world, and just being alive is activating that energy in you, right? Like just like you're in the sun, like you're standing in the sun, feeling the sun on your face, and you feel a surge of energy move through your body. That's like a euphoria. You're at the coffee shop, you're talking to the barista, and you're turned on by the interaction. Again, I'm not saying that you're sexually turned on, like you're getting sexually aroused. That's not what I mean. But I mean, the human interaction that you're experiencing with this person in front of you is enlivening for you. You feel energy moving through your body just by interacting with the barista. And you don't have to ask that person out. You don't have to try to take them home. You don't have to try to take this interaction. Like the interaction is perfect just as it is. I'm not saying the interaction needs to be more than you just ordering a cup of coffee from the barista. What I'm saying is most of us, and when I say most of us, I mean pretty much all of us, are not soaking up everything that interaction with the barista has to offer. That's what I'm saying. See, I'm not saying you need to take the barista home and make love to her. No, I'm saying that that interaction right there is limited. That we are not allowing ourselves to experience the fullness of that interaction. To imagine what life would be like to have this kind of sensual experience and this sensual relationship with life, right? To just be kind of turned on by life, to just have this energy be active in all of your interactions, everywhere you go, with everything you do. Just imagine how it would feel. Like this would be deeply healing to your nervous system, right? This would be like deeply regulating. It would put your body in a state of deep ease and comfort. It would be releasing like endorphins and serotonin, and like it would be like elevating your mood. You would feel more optimistic. You would feel like more things are possible. You would feel more in love, because this is essentially a heart-opening experience, what I'm talking about, right? Like when we talk about repression, and anybody who's familiar with the chakra centers, which if you've studied yoga or spirituality, you've probably heard of the chakras. And the chakras are 7 energy centers in the body. You have one at your root, like by your tailbone, one in like your pelvis, which is called the sacral. You have one in your solar plexus, which is like your center of self-expression. You have one in your heart, one in your throat, one in your forehead or in your third eye, and then one in the very tip top of your head at the crown. And then you also have thousands of others that are kind of offshoots from those 7 main centers, right? So you have the seven main centers that kind of go right up your spinal cord. And then you have thousands and thousands of smaller chakra centers that go all throughout your body. And these are energy centers, right? These are centers that hold and move the energy throughout your body. Most of our world lives in the three lower centers. So like if you look at our entire world, you will see that it is basically dominated by these three lower centers. The center of self-expression, which is like, you could think of that kind of like my ego, my identity, right? Who I believe I am. That's in the solar plexus, right? So there's my ego, my identity. It's who I believe I am. That's the solar plexus center. So how I'm putting myself out in the world, who I present myself to be, how I want to be perceived, what I want people to think of me. That's all the solar plexus center. The sacral center it deals with a lot of like gut health, hormone health, and sexuality. But it only becomes enlightened sexuality when it moves through the heart center. So when the heart center is cut off, it becomes unenlightened sexuality, which is where pretty much our whole world lives around sex, right? So then you have unenlightened sexuality in the pelvic center. And then the root center is all about survival. So it's about safety, reproduction, eating, drinking, using the bathroom, sleeping, right? Like the root center is all about just staying alive and surviving. And so you have these seven energy centers. And for most people, the top four, the heart, the throat, the third eye, and the crown are basically just completely shut down, or if not completely shut down, there's very little energy that moves up into those higher centers. And so most of our energy is located in the lower three centers. Now, this is one of the reasons why we don't recognize that sexual energy is actually life force energy, right? It's because we only really experience it in the lower centers, in our genital area. So we assume that that's all it is, because we're energetically shut off into the higher centers. When you allow the heart to open, and the heart is like, I always think of the heart center being kind of the gateway to the higher realms, because like once your heart opens, it just snowballs from there. You know, once your heart opens, which is the center of like holy or spiritual love, like unconditional love, compassion, connection, understanding, right? These are all the experiences that come through the heart center. And the heart center then opens up to the throat, which is your voice, your truth, your authenticity, right? So the throat is really the center of authenticity. It's speaking your truth, using your voice, being yourself, right? It's putting the truth of what you are out in the world. It's about your voice, but it's also just about expression. It's about putting your truth, taking it from inside and putting it out in the world. And then the third eye is higher wisdom, right? We can, using our third eye, we can see things that are non-physical. We can see beyond what the body's eyes can see using the third eye. It's our spiritual eye. It's our center of intuitive vision. We can see energy using our third eye. Like literally, you can see energy. When you open your third eye, you will see the physical realm. And then you will also see the energetic realm. Like as I look around the room right now, and this might sound weird to some of you, but some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you experience it too. Like as I look around the room right now, I see the table and the carpet and the walls and the ceiling and the television. I see all of that. And I also see, kind of overlaying that, it looks a little bit like the Matrix. It's not ones and zeros, but it kind of looks like an energetic pattern, right? And I just kind of see that on top of everything. And sometimes I'll say like, sometimes I see it a lot. Sometimes I see it a little bit, depending on how open or closed my third eye is. But that started to happen for me when I started doing psychedelics in high school. I started doing psychedelics, my third eye opened up. And ever since I was 16 years old, I've seen energy, which, you know, when it happened, I was like, wow, this is cool. I thought I was just on drugs, but then it never went away. And I started to study and research and I realized what was actually happening. The crown is the center of spiritual connection, right? The crown comes from the top of our head. And that is like our link to higher realms, right? So that is, you could think of it kind of like a plug-in, right? Like that's like where we're plugged into the higher realms. That's where the energy comes from, so to speak. And so living in the lower three centers is a very physical experience of life. We walk around like a bunch of meat suits. We're not present to the energetics of our being. To us, sex is just something we do for entertainment or to feel good or for reproduction, but it's not something that has, you know, deep spiritual significance to us. It's not something that is deepening our relationship with ourselves. It's just something, it's a very physical act. Once the heart is open, once the energy center of the heart is open and that energy can move beyond the lower three centers and it can move into the higher centers, sex starts to have a different meaning for us. It starts to feel differently for us. But also our sexual energy just becomes more available to us, because that energy, when experienced through the heart, is about so much more than the act of sex, right? Again, like this is where we start to understand it as life energy, as love energy, right? Like it is the energy that, like, when you feel like so in love with someone, and I'm not talking about romantic love. That's one kind of it. But I'm not talking about romantic love. I'm talking about when you feel like, it could be like my puppy, right? Like when I look at my puppy and I'm just like, oh my God, like he's just so precious and so beautiful and so innocent. And like, just like the most, it's like hard to even grasp how a creature like him exists. And like my heart swells up, right? That's that same energy. That's that same energy. It is the energy of unconditional love. You know, when that energy moves into my head and it starts to create visions, right? When that energy moves into the third eye and the third eye opens up and you start to see visions, you start to see geometric patterns overlaying everything. You start to have deep intuitive insights. It's like knowing things, but you don't know how you know them. They're just coming from inside of you, right? It's just deep wisdom that is opening up and unlocking inside of you. That's what happens when sexual energy moves into your third eye. And so it's the same energy experienced throughout the body, experienced in different types of environments, in different types of relationships, in different types of experiences. And the more you can open yourself up to let that energy permeate through you, literally the more alive you become, the more connected you become, the more in tune you become, the more like tapped in, tuned in, turned on you become, right? It's like life starts to feel juicy and sensual, and you're savoring the moments and you're connected to the experiences you're having, and things look beautiful and people look beautiful. And like everything, like you see what's happening on the surface of life. You see what your eyes see. But then there's like a deeper vision where you're also seeing that something else is happening simultaneously. And this is what it's like to really be alive. Like this is what it's like to really be alive. Part of healing, and I think it was so important for me to have this conversation today. And honestly, this conversation has been on my mind for a while. This conversation has been on my mind for a while, but I've been wondering exactly how to talk about it or what to say or where the topic goes. But the thing was, and why it was so important for me to talk about this, was because to have a conversation about conscious relationships or conscious relating or love, like to have a conversation about those kinds of things without including this aspect of it would be an incomplete conversation, because we're literally talking about the energy that underlies all of it. every experience you have, this energy is underneath it. And, you know, I think like when you're on a first date with someone, or a second date, or a third date, or even if it's your wife or, you know, whoever, or your husband or whatever, right? But like, it's present. It's there. It's like, you know, and specifically, like if you're on a first date with someone, it's in the room. It's there. And it's like the elephant in the room that nobody's talking about, right? It's like you both know when you're sitting down at that table on your first date, you both know that if this thing goes where you want it to go, if it goes where you hope it's going to go, the two of you are going to end up having sex with each other. And rather than being like available to that, able to maturely interact around that, able to be adults about it, right? Able to call it out and name it, and we behave like children, like giggly little children, like hoo hoo hoo. Don't want to talk about that. It's so strange. You know, like I imagine a world where you could sit down with someone on a first date and talk about sex with them, and have it be like. And what I'm getting at is it doesn't mean that you would sleep with that person just because you talked about it with them. But what I'm getting at is that you would be able to be present to the fullness of that person rather than needing to compartmentalize them into a more acceptable version of who they are, right? Like you could sit down across that table with that person and actually be open and available to the fact that like this person probably wants to have sex with me right now. And that's okay. Of course I have boundaries. Of course I'm not going to allow myself to be abused or taken advantage of. Of course I'm going to make sure this person knows where my standards are and at what point or I would or wouldn't feel comfortable going there. Like, of course we need to be adults and have boundaries and have healthy communication. And I'm not suggesting any kind of abuse or irresponsibility here. All I'm saying is that rather than pretending like that wasn't happening, we could be available to the completeness of that person. And they could be available to the completeness of us. And we wouldn't have to sit there and act like certain parts of us are just too shameful to even deal with. And that's the problem. That's the problem. Is we treat our sexuality like it's a part of ourselves and like it's a part of other people that is too shameful to even acknowledge or to deal with. And so as I've been saying, we keep it hidden to the bedroom, keep it hidden to the lower energy centers in our body, keep it limited to very specific interactions. You know, I was talking, I did an interview last week with a woman named Sarah Baldwin. She's a nervous system expert. Actually that podcast episode is going to be released by the time, unless you're live with me today, by the time you hear this episode, that episode will have already been released. But, I was talking to Sarah. She's amazing, brilliant woman, expert in the nervous system. And we were talking about how in dating, you need to, like, in order to connect with people, you need to be on a date having a kind of sensual experience with that person, right? Like, you can't meet somebody on a first date and just be behind your wall and they're behind their wall and you say all the nice things and you're polite and it's like, oh, where are you from? And how many siblings do you have? And what do you do for work? And you're just like, you're like a robot going through the motions, checking the boxes. Okay, I found out about their family. I found out where they work. I found out about their goals. I found out about their hobbies. But there's not a sensual connection taking place. That relationship isn't going to go anywhere. And I know, like, I know so many people, like I coach people like this who are going on these robotic dates over and over and over again, checking their one date a week, two dates a week off the list. But they're not sensually connected to the experience they're having. And so they're going on date after date after date after date after date, and they're bored and they're exhausted and nobody excites them. Well, the thing is, the reason nobody excites them is because they're not able to get excited. because they're not connected to their own sexual aliveness. And there's got to be like, and this is the thing, even if you're not attracted to the person, even if you never want to see them after that date, even if it's like literally this is a one-time experience with that person, you can open your heart to them. You can feel the experience that's taking place with them. Right? Like you can be connected to them, even if it's just for that cup of coffee, even if it's just for that meal. You can be sensually connected to the experience you're having with them. Even if you don't find that attractive, even if you don't find that person attractive, you can recognize that that is not a barrier to open your heart and experience the unconditional love that can be shared between you. Just because they're not attractive to you doesn't mean that that interaction isn't worthwhile. That having a moment of connected, unconditional love shared between the two of you, looking into each other's eyes, just for a moment, just to say, hey, even if I never see you again, I want you to know that I love you. And some of you might feel like that's a very strong message to send a stranger. That's part of your repression. To think that sharing an experience of unconditional love with a stranger is somehow wrong, that's part of your repression. That's part of your inability to be fully alive and connected. And what we do is we don't allow that to be present all the time in all of our interactions, everywhere we go. We reserve it for those special people that we're really, really attracted to. And what happens is we lose touch with it. So when it does come up, when we meet that person, and oh my God, we're so attracted to them and they're knocking my socks off and I can barely contain myself. And all of a sudden that energy is alive and active. It comes out weird and awkward. And we do weird stuff like blow up their phone or be demanding or be pushy or be needy. And we do that because we're not used to having this energy inside of us, inside of our bodies alive all the time. And then it comes to life and then we go, I don't know what to do with this. And we start acting crazy. The other thing that makes it even almost worse is that we don't realize that it is something we are doing. We think the other person is doing it to us. And then we think we need that person to feel this way. It's literally your own energy inside your own body. And it can be there all the time. And like when I say it can be there all the time, I don't mean you're going to be in a consistent state of orgasm 24/7. That's not what I mean. You know, it can be there in manageable doses. And it can fluctuate. It can raise and it can lower, right? Like I have, this is going to be a weird thing to say, but I've said a lot of weird things today. I'll just keep going with it. Like I have full body orgasms in the sauna at the gym. And it's not a sexual thing. It's an energetic thing, right? It's not a sexual thing. I'm not getting turned on. I'm not horny. It's an energetic thing. It is that same energy when I'm in the sauna and I've been meditating and breathing for about 15 minutes and I'm building up that energy inside of my body through breath work and meditation. And then I stand up and I stretch. And I've been building up that energy in my body. And then I stand up and I stretch. And that energy that has been building up in like a certain container, I stretch and I open all the centers and I allow it to kind of freely flow through my body. That's a full body orgasm. And it's not sexual. It's just me knowing how to play with and direct my own life force energy. And because that's available to me, because I'm not disconnected from that, when it comes time to make love to my wife, it's pretty good. It's pretty amazing. Like it's the best both of us have ever had by a long shot. You know, whereas most married couples go further and further into a lack of, you know, a loving, healthy sexual relationship the longer they're together. And I'm not bragging when I say this. I'm literally just sharing what's possible. You know, where most couples move deeper into sexual disconnection the longer they're together, my wife and I have been able to move deeper into sexual connection the longer we're together. And look, when we have kids, I'm not going to say like that might not change or we might not struggle with it. Like, and we've had periods in our relationship where we have struggled with it. We've had periods of time where we had very little sex. Those periods of time are actually what brought us here, right? It's us looking at that and going like, what the hell is going on? And then exploring it that brought us to this place. Just a couple of other things I want to touch on. I want to give a few practical examples and I want to talk about how we can work with this in a practical way. I was in my mid-20s and I was invited to a party at a friend's house. And I met a girl at the party. We ended up connecting and then we went and played mini golf afterwards. And then I was like, hey, you want to come back to my house? And you all know the rest of the story. So, you know, I met this girl at a party. We connected, we had a fun night together. We hooked up the first night we met. And by the way, we ended up having like a year-long relationship after that. So it wasn't just a one-night stand, but anyway. The friend who hosted the party called me the next day and flipped out on me. I mean, she went off on me. And I felt horrible. Like I felt like I had done something really, really wrong. And I'll never forget the words she said to me. She said, "You come over to my house and take advantage of a vulnerable woman to get off on your skeevy little desires." Those were her words to me. Now, I was in my mid-20s. This woman was in her mid-30s. We were both consenting adults. We both felt like she didn't feel bad about the experience. I didn't feel bad about the experience. But here is this third party stepping in with her judgments, telling me that I'm some kind of perpetrator, telling this other woman that she was somehow taken advantage of or misused. And just dropping all this judgment on what was a perfectly, I mean, if I were to be myself today back then, I may not choose to sleep with someone on the first day I meet them, right? Like I've grown a lot. Like I might do things differently now, but it wasn't wrong. It was two adults doing what adults do. And the reason I'm telling this story is because it's one of the most striking examples I've ever experienced of sexual shame, where this woman who was my friend, and like, I would say like, until this happened, I thought she was a pretty close friend actually. Like just to give you some context, this woman and I were working in a spiritual community together. We were doing drum circles at her house. She was actually the, her and one other person were the people who like Reiki certified me. Like she was like a mentor to me and like a friend. And we had been spending a lot of time together and we were really close. And then she just like comes out of nowhere and attacks me for this. And I like at the time, I just didn't understand it. I did not understand what was happening. But when I look back on it, I realize what happened was she had me in a certain box where she could not see me as a sexual being, right? Like she was okay with me in Reiki and in spiritual circles and in drum circles. And it was all good for me to be myself in all those other areas. But the moment she experienced me as a sexual being, there was something wrong with me. Like she could not open her heart to that part of me, right? Everything else was good, but when that part came, she closed her heart. And I mean, look, like that's a result of her own trauma. That's her own stuff. And I had to learn to not take that personally. And I ended up getting coaching on that situation. I'm like, did I do something wrong? Like, did I abuse someone? Like I was confused. Like I literally didn't know if I had done something horrible. And I got coaching and I came to terms with it and I figured it out for myself. But that's the kind of stuff. And I know, like, I mean, this is horrible for women, right? Like if a woman is to go out and choose to be sexually free and explore multiple partners or explore kink or explore like whatever she might want to explore, any version of that, like she is inevitably going to experience an incredible amount of shame. And it's really fucked up what men do, because men want women to be that way. They want women to be kinky and sexually active and all that stuff. But the moment a woman becomes that, she's no longer like girlfriend or wife material, right? Now she's just a sex object. And I don't want to say that's all men across the board, because it's not. There are lots of men who are not that way, but that is a cultural way. That is a cultural experience that women have around their sexuality with men. And all of this, it's just so fucked up, because it continues to push the repression. It continues to limit our willingness to explore our sexual reality, to explore our sexual truth, to explore our own pleasure. And then what happens is, like I've been saying, is that doesn't only have a cost in the bedroom. Yes, it does have a cost in the bedroom. Absolutely it does. And that's why almost everybody is sexually dissatisfied. Single, married, it doesn't matter. Almost every single person is sexually dissatisfied. But not only does it create dysfunction in the bedroom, it creates dysfunction across your life as a whole. Because you can't really be present to who people are. You can only be present to the parts of them that you find acceptable. Just like my friend, right? Everything was great until she recognized I had a sexual side. And then she started attacking me. And when there's repression, repression causes expression to be toxic, right? So if we take something like sexual repression, which has, I mean, as far as I can tell, like, I don't know if there's ever been a time in history when humans weren't sexually repressed. Maybe, you know, in certain parts of ancient Greece or whatever, I don't know, right? But as far as I can tell, culturally, there has always been a degree of sexual repression. And when something is repressed, it forces the expression of that thing to be toxic. Now, this is not an excuse. I'm not excusing any abusive behavior. I'm not condoning any abusive behavior. But if we take, you know, about 10 years ago, there was a big thing where Catholic priests were molesting little boys. I'm not condoning that behavior. I'm not saying that's right. But what I'm saying is, these are people who are sexual in nature. They're humans. They are sexual in nature. And they have either forced themselves or been culturally forced into a paradigm where they were not allowed to be sexual, right? Where they were not allowed to experience themselves in a sexual way. Other people were not allowed to experience themselves in a sexual way. Like, that whole aspect of their reality, that whole aspect of their humanness was completely ignored. And I mean, like, think about it. Again, I'm not condoning their behavior, but imagine being a priest. And by the way, there are lots of good priests that haven't molested children, right? But imagine being a priest, and imagine having this whole aspect of your reality that is real and alive and vibrant, and no matter how hard you try, you still get horny. There's nothing you can do to turn it off. And then you have to show up every day and pretend like that's not happening. And in all of your relationships, everyone treats you like that doesn't exist. Like, how dehumanizing is that? It's horrible. It's terrible. Why would we do that to anyone? And then again, I want to be very clear. I know I keep repeating myself. I want to be very clear. I am not condoning the behavior, but I'm saying I am not surprised that it happened. What surprises me is actually that anybody could think that it wouldn't happen. That's what surprises me. What surprises me is that anybody could think that we could be this way and that these kinds of things wouldn't happen. And in fact, I would suggest that all sexual abuse stems down to that dynamic, somehow, in some way, somewhere along the line. Because this is what I know. If those abusers, from the time they were children, were able to be received in the fullness of who they are, were given unconditional love, were taught that their needs were valid, were taught healthy ways of expressing those needs, right? If that had happened, that person would not have ended up abusing people. They only ended up abusing people because all of those things did not happen first. And so many of the people in our world who claim to be the good ones, the righteous ones, the holy ones, who are teaching sexual repression are actually creating the conditions for this kind of abuse to happen. I'll share something personal from my history. I grew up in a very heavily sexually repressed culture. I don't know if I've ever shared this, but I've shared that my mom was a religious extremist. I don't know if I've ever shared that she was actually Mormon, or she is actually Mormon still to this day. So if anybody knows anything about Mormons, I mean, they're Christian, and in many ways they're very similar to other Christian religions, but very extreme. So like you can think of like Little House on the Prairie kind of lifestyle, right? Like you have to wear skirts that go past your knees. You can't show your shoulders. Your dresses have to have like a high neckline. It's like that kind of stuff, right? And no sex before marriage. And I was never even given any kind of sexual education at all. Like it was never even discussed. And I know I'm not particularly unique in that. I think most of our parents never give us any kind of sexual education. I think that's actually probably the norm for a lot of us, is that we didn't receive any kind of sexual education, which is insane to think about. Like, here's this whole part of our body, our reality, like we live with it every day, and nobody ever thought it was important to tell us what to do with it. But now, my mom lives in this culture where masturbation is not okay. Sex is not okay outside of marriage, right? And so, like, if you want to have sex with someone, you have to get married to them. And, you know, like I already said masturbation isn't okay. My mom told me this once. And again, my mom has never really had a graphic, detailed discussion about sex with me, but she did tell me this once. She said, and I'm probably like 12 years old when she said this to me. She said, even when you're married, there are certain things that are just not appropriate to do with your husband or your wife. Like, so this is the extent of repression that my mom lives in. And now I just want to look at like, what has happened as a result of that? First of all, like there's no masturbation. So if you're single and you're horny, like you can't take care of yourself. You just got to suffer, I guess. Which then does what? It drives you into toxic relationships, right? Because it's like, well, I'm single and I can't masturbate. So I have to be with another person if I want to satisfy this need. So now I'm seeking out just whoever's available because I have this burning need inside of me that needs to get met. But now I also have to get married first. So not only am I seeking out toxic relationships, I'm also marrying these people to satisfy like a powerful instinctual need. This is not something you can think away. And so like how has this played out in my mom's life? She's been divorced 5 times. More than one of her husbands have abused her children. And like all these years, my mom has never had a healthy marriage. And if I look at the reasons why she has never had a healthy marriage and all the abuse and destruction that has taken place in our family, it literally boils down 100% to sexual repression. 100% across the board. If my mom had just given her the freedom, given herself the freedom to explore her own sexuality, she would not have married these people. My sisters would not have been abused the way they were. My mom might be happily married today. Like, she might have had the freedom to explore and learn and grow in relationship with people, and she wouldn't have just gotten married to every guy she met. And I know my mom is an extreme case. I'll be the first to say, my mom has made really, really poor decisions, and I know she's an extreme case. I know not everybody lives like her. But I think she is a great example of how destructive sexual repression really is. And so I know I've said this already, but I really want to come back to this. Is like, the message for today is like, give yourself permission to be the fullness of who you are in every respect. If there are things you want to explore sexually, explore them. Maybe you don't even know what you want to explore sexually. Find out. Start researching. Start reading articles and books and watching videos and like learning and like give yourself the space to come into the fullness of that aspect of yourself. And when you're relating, let people know that part of you. Like, I want to share this, like, because those of you who listen to the podcast and you know my work, you know, especially for women, although I recommend it for men too, I know men aren't going to listen, right? But especially for women, I recommend like waiting some time before you sleep with someone, like find out who the person is, find out what their intentions are, find out if they're trustworthy, find out if you feel safe with them, find out like, right? Like just get some information about this person before you open yourself up to them on that level. Like I feel that is really good advice for women. But that doesn't mean that you couldn't even be sexually open on a first date, right? Like that doesn't mean you couldn't share what's true for you around sex on a first date. That doesn't mean that you couldn't share that you love sex and when it's the right time with the right person and when it comes down to it, like that excites you and you're looking forward to that. Like, I think more of us should start being more open about these things because we need to give each other permission to be sexual beings. I want to share one other story. I just think it's pertinent and I'm going to close out shortly, but I just want to share one other story because I remember a client I had a long time ago and she's now married, by the way, like one of my biggest success stories. But this was, I think she was like one of my first few clients when I started coaching like way, way back in the day. And I remember she would get highly, highly triggered anytime a man would show her sexual attention or anytime a man would express a sexual interest in her, she would just get like viscerally triggered by it. And of course, it was related to her trauma. It was related to personal things that she'd been through. But I said to her, I said, let me ask you a question. When you find your person, when you find your partner, are you going to want to have an active sex life with them? She goes, of course. I said, okay. Are you going to want them to be sexually into you? Are you going to want them to be turned on by you? Are you going to want them to pursue you? Are you going to want them to make the move and initiate and like want to be sexual with you? And she said, of course. And I said, okay. So this thing that triggers you about this person is actually a green flag. It's actually one of the things that you want in a relationship. Now, of course, maybe now's not the time for it. Maybe you need to communicate with him about what the right time and place is, right? Maybe you need to communicate to him about what your truth is around that. Maybe you need to talk about what your boundaries are. Maybe you need to talk about how you experience it, when you experience it, why you experience it, right? Maybe you need to communicate about all of that with each other. But at the end of the day, him being sexually interested in you is something you want in a relationship. And yet, because, and I get it, like, she had been hurt by men, she had been taken advantage of by men, she had some trauma around men that had caused her to put up these walls, right? But now what's happening is she's not available to the very thing that she wants from men. And she had developed a certain way of relating around men where it's not okay for them to be sexually interested in me. And the thing is like, for the ladies out there, men are sexually interested in you. Like, when you're dating men, you can guarantee that they are thinking about having sex with you and that they want to do it. And you can be offended by that or think that's wrong if you want to, but it's the way the world was made. It's the way humans were made. And so you can resist that, or you can open yourself up to that and say, you know what? I can receive that part of a man. Instead of needing someone to be a certain way for you to accept them, start accepting people in the fullness of who they are. Start recognizing the fullness of who this human being is. And recognize it's okay for them to be the fullness of who they are. And, you know, I think it's important to say this here. If something in the fullness of who they are makes you feel unsafe, tell them that. If they don't care, if they ignore that, if they operate over it, if they keep pushing you, then remove that person from your life, right? I'm not advocating any kind of abuse here. But what I'm saying is this is alive for all of us. And the kind of connection we want to have, the kind of relatability we want to have, the way we want to feel with people, it comes through this. It comes through opening all of this up inside of ourselves. And so I just, again, in today's conversation, I thought it was important to do an episode just about sexuality, just really exploring this conversation in some detail, because with all the things we talk about on that show, to not explore this, it would just be an incomplete conversation. Because, like, literally every other conversation we've had on this show, this conversation was underneath it, like the elephant in the room that wasn't being talked about. Like, on every date you go on, your sexuality is underneath it, like the elephant in the room that's not being talked about. In your marriage, your sexuality is underneath it, like the elephant in the room that's not being talked about. I could say, and I know this sounds weird the way we're talking about it, but if you've been following me in today's conversation, I would say even in your friendships, even in your business, your sexuality is underlying all of your experiences. So wake up to that, play with it, explore it. It really is just a way of coming more to life. It really is just a way of coming more to life. So lots of love, everybody. Pleasure being with you today. Thank you for tuning in, as always. Sending you lots of love wherever you are, and we'll see you back here next Tuesday. Many blessings, everybody. Take care. Talk to you then. Bye. Thanks again for checking out the show. Please subscribe on whatever platform you listen to podcasts on the most. And I would love it so much if you leave a review and tell people what you think of us. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at The Living Relationship to connect more closely. And I'm grateful to be supporting you on your journey to love.